Now, back to your turn on 1330 WEBY, Northwest Florida's Talk Radio. The phone lines are open, so call in and join the conversation at 623-1330.
Thank you for staying tuned. If you've just tuned in, my name's Renee Giacchino. I'm Corporate Counsel for the Center for Individual Freedom. As always, to learn more about my organization or to sign up for our free lunchtime Liberty Update, please visit us on the web at www.cfif.org. Well, if you think you're busy, you haven't met busy until you've met Dr. Troy Tippett. Dr. Tippett is with the Neurosurgical Group. He's a neurosurgeon, and he's with the Neurosurgical Group in Pensacola, Florida. He is also president-elect of the American Association of Neurological Surgeons, and we welcome him back to your turn. He's here this afternoon to talk with us about healthcare reform and medical malpractice reform, two issues that one of which is getting a little bit of talk in the media and maybe not necessarily all the information getting out there accurately. The other one is not being talked about at all and really should be. Dr. Tippett, thank you so much for coming back on the program. We appreciate it.
Renee, thanks for having me. It's a delight to be on your program. It's always educational for me.
Tell us a little bit about your practice for folks out there. I can't pronounce it, but I know what it is. But for folks who don't know what a neurosurgeon does, if you would fill them in a little bit.
A neurosurgeon is a physician who specializes in the care and treatment of both the central and peripheral nervous system. That is the brain, the spinal cord, their coverings, and much of what covers it, including cervical and lumbar disc disease, the peripheral nervous system, anything that has to do with your nervous system or its coverings, or the blood supply to those coverings is generally dealt with by neurosurgeons.
These are like brain surgeons, folks. So, I mean, we're talking with the, you know, when people go to medical school, as my husband did, you know, the smartest of the smartest, many of them go on to become neurosurgeons. Dr. Tippett, I first of all want to talk about malpractice reform, because in your area of specialties, as is the case with many areas of specialty, OBGYN, orthopedics, you know, we've lost a lot of doctors in those areas. We've been more fortunate than some places in West Virginia. In fact, whole hospital wings have had to close because they've lost physicians, in a large part because of the lack of medical malpractice reform. When we talk about medical malpractice reform, what is it that we can and should be talking about?
Well, we basically should be talking about what we can do to limit there's several approaches. One would be the thing that's worked so well in the states, large states like California, and now working in Texas, is to limit the amount of non-economic damages that's charged when a person has a liability suit settled against them up to $250,000. It does pay for their health care, their loss of wages. Those sorts of things are covered, but they're non-economic damages are limited to some degree, and it's been a long ongoing conversation in the state of Florida, as you know, Governor Bush. We were able to pass some tort reform in the state of Florida, and it has helped, but we still have a problem. We have a major problem around the country, and I'm not just talking about what we can do to help physicians. What I'm talking about is a huge increase in cost to the healthcare system by not having tort reform, and that's because there is a tremendous amount of money spent in this country on defensive medicine, and it's estimated by some in a Stanford study that we spend at least $100 billion extra a year on defensive medicine. And what I mean by that is that we order tests that may or may not be of value, merely to protect ourselves or to try to prevent being sued if that 1 in 1,000 occurrence happened and you didn't do some test. So a huge amount of money is being wasted in this country, money that we can't afford to waste because we don't have tort reform in this country like we have in the state of Texas or in California, where it's been present for the last 30 years. So it's an important issue in this healthcare debate where we do need to do something about our health, our Medicare reform, but to pursue it to the point of having a federal system, I think, is the wrong way to go. And tort reform is one of the big issues that on some sides of the aisle they tend to try to ignore.
Well, it was hard to ignore, I think, for a lot of physicians back last fall. The New England Journal of Medicine ran a side-by-side of the then candidates. I mean, obviously, John McCain and then candidate, now President Obama. They published the New England Journal of Medicine did basically their positions on health care. And in there, at least what appeared originally on the website, was some encouraging news for physicians. That lasted all of about 60 seconds. Can you fill us in on that story, please?
Well, yes, it was an interesting thing. As you said, they had the side-by-sides, and the thing that struck us in particular was a statement by then-Senator Obama, a quote in which he said the quote was, "I will also support legislation dictating that if you practice care in line with your medical society's recommendations, you cannot be sued." Now, the interesting thing was that this was published online on September the 24th of 2008. They always publish New England Journal online before the actual hard copy or printed version comes out. And when the printed version came out less than a month later, October the 9th, 2008, that sentence was totally no longer in the copy. It had been taken out over that time frame without explanation. There was no comment by the editors or anyone else as to why that sentence had been removed, and that's a huge issue. We would certainly support that, and in fact, we being the American Association of Neurological Surgeons, have formally thanked President Obama for including that, and we support his use of that way, and that would go a long ways towards helping with tort reform. But until we commented on this in testimony on the House Energy and Commerce Committee meeting last week, or about 10 days ago, there had been no notification that this had actually been changed. And once it was pointed out to the administration, they really said that it was an editorial oversight and it should have been removed. And there were a lot of interesting comments, none of which made any sense to us.
Well, it certainly begs the question, which we won't get into, although, you know, it's one of my favorite topics, and that is, you know, the president having the media in his pocket. I mean, it amazes me that the New England Journal of Medicine would cave to, you know, the wishes of the campaign to withdraw that sentence. That, to me, is not, you know, getting out the facts and just the facts, but that's the topic of a whole nother discussion. I want to go back to the fact that you mentioned that on March 24th, I believe it was, you were present at a hearing in Washington, D.C. before the House Energy and Commerce Health Subcommittee. What are they talking about at the federal level with respect to medical malpractice reform? I mean, do we look for good news, bad news? You know, what does your crystal ball show on that?
Well, unfortunately, the Democrats were not the least bit interested in talking about this issue. This issue was brought forward by the minority party, the Republicans, and I thought they did a nice job of framing the issue. They pointed out continued problems in the state of Illinois, the continued problems in the state of Pennsylvania, where the coverage is, just for example, in the city of Philadelphia, there are absolutely zero neurosurgeons in private practice because they can't afford the liability insurance. All the neurosurgical coverage in that city is provided by surgeons, neurosurgeons who are at the various universities. In the state of Illinois, where the liability costs are upwards of $250,000 for $1 million coverage in the northern part of the state, they passed a tort reform a few years ago, but now the Supreme Court has said that that's invalid. So they're facing another huge crisis. You can pick out states around the country where this is a continuing issue. There are solutions that have worked. They've worked in California. They're working in Texas. And we have a partial help in our own state, and that is limiting the contingency fee of the plaintiff's attorneys, which is a constitutional amendment, you recall, that we passed a few years ago, and that helps. But after you've already fallen off the cliff, it's hard to do anything about stopping your damage when you hit the ground.
Is there any talk, do you know, I know you're very well versed at the federal level, any talk at the state level in Tallahassee? Is it on any committee's agenda to relook at? I mean, we know that the plaintiffs bar, the tort lawyers, you know, are beating the doors heavy in Tallahassee, trying to unwind, you know, the little bit of progress that has been made here in the state on the issue of medical malpractice reform. Have you heard of anything that's, you know, on the radar screen in Tallahassee?
No, from what I understand, the primary thing that's taking up all the time and attention in Tallahassee, of course, is the budget deficit, and any type of tort reform issues are really not being considered, to my knowledge, at this point.
Well, the federal government may not help us too much with that issue in light of the fact, and this is just news that came across my desk right before I left for the radio station, so I apologize that I'm not well-versed in exactly what it is that they're proposing, but just as I was set to leave, I understood that, you know, they are now looking at Medicare reimbursements and ways to, you know, further limit Medicare reimbursements to physicians through different private health care insurance that people may buy their, you know, Medicare supplemental policies. I think you couple this with the fact that, you know, there are a lot of tort lawyers out there trying to unwind medical malpractice reform, and you know, we very well could see more doctors' offices closing. Am I right, doctor?
Well, you're absolutely correct, particularly in neurosurgery. Just to give you an example, there are about 25 pediatric neurosurgical fellowships available around the country between 18 and 25. And last year they filled 8 of those slots.
Wow.
And the reason is because they are even more susceptible to liability issues because of the long duration of their exposure when they take care of a child. Now, that's a terrible potential disaster for this country, and it's just being ignored. It is really scary to think our children may not have the benefit of a pediatric neurosurgeon if they have hydrocephalus or have shunting or have a head injury or a brain tumor. They just may not be there, and that's a direct result of this problem. It's easy to gloss it over. But when you get down to the details of just what it's limiting, it continues to be a major issue. We continue to see patients sent to other locales to have treatment because of fear of being sued. That happens in our own community on a regular basis. It's a big problem for patients. It inconveniences them. And as I say, this is a huge underlying cost. We need to do something about Medicare reform, but we need to consider that as part of the problem and deal with that as well. I hope that we're able to convince the administration and Senator Baucus, who in the federal government, he is head of the Senate Finance Committee, which is one of the two committees on the Senate side that are proposing federal legislation. Now, he says he might do something about it, but once again, just as it seemed that someone intervened in what we thought was a good idea that President Obama said in that New England Journal article, all of a sudden it disappears. It makes you suspicious that certain elements in his campaign and in his administration are not going to allow this to happen.
You know, I want to talk a little bit. You know, a lot of people have a hard time feeling sorry for doctors, and they think when we talk about medical malpractice reform, all we're talking about doing is bolstering doctors' income. And, you know, I think the years of, you know, the doctors making millions of dollars, they're well gone. I mean, I know when I entered law school, you know, the common joke, only in the sense that it was funny, but it was true, was that the most profitable residency was to go to law school. You know, if you really wanted to make the money, you went to law school. When you looked at an hour-for-hour payment, and I know I'm preaching to the choir with you, Dr. Tippett, but when you looked at, you know, the hours worked by the physicians, particularly during their training years, which for many is, you know, 4, 8, 10 and beyond number of years, I mean, you're talking about a pittance. Sometimes it's measured out into simply, you know, under a dollar, close to $1.50 an hour. But let me take it to more current terms, because I think today's physicians, they're not in it for the money, frankly. They're in it because they are good people. This is, for a lot of them, this is, you know, how they give back to their communities. And a lot of the work that they do is, in fact, charity work. And I applaud them for that. But if you could give a little bit of a picture when we talk about medical malpractice insurance premiums, what are doctors, say, let's use neurosurgery as an example, what are they paying in their premiums?
Well, it depends on which state you're in. Of course, as I said, in the state of Illinois, it's it's $250,000 or more for $1 million coverage. In the state of Florida, first of all you can obtain is $250,000 worth of coverage, and it typically costs a neurosurgeon $100,000 and up to have that coverage each year. So you pay $100,000 for $250,000 coverage. After 2 or 3 years, that doesn't seem to make a lot of sense. But it's, and you're talking about the reimbursement for physicians. It is a huge issue now. It particularly is a huge issue in primary care, where we are facing the fact that many people are not going into primary care to take care of our patients when they come in with all types of chronic problems. We face across the board this year, if something is not done about it by Congress, a 20% cut in all Medicare for everyone. Now, what that means to our patients is that there's going to be a significant loss of access of their ability to find a physician who's willing to take care of a Medicare patient, because frankly, just as in Medicaid, which is paid in the state of Florida at only 55% of Medicare rates, if they're all going to be in that amount, you can't afford to keep your office open, particularly in primary care. So there is a move afoot to try to increase that reimbursement, first of all, to stop this 20% cut. Congress is all agrees that it needs to be stopped, but, of course, they haven't done anything about it yet. And typically they wait to the last minute of the last day to do anything about that. But in terms of all of our patients, in terms of the people listening, what that means out there to them is that they're soon, I'm afraid, going to have no access to a lot of different specialties and, in particular, primary care. So it's a huge concern that we all have.
Folks, this is real, too. I mean, this is not, you know, the sky has fallen Chicken Little. I mean, this is absolutely real. By the way, let me back up, people. If you want to read more about the Obama tort reform proposal that was scrubbed from the medical journal, you can find information about that. Inside Health Reform discovered that, and they have a wonderful piece that is up. Is there any place else that folks can learn more about that, Doctor?
I think that's probably the best place to look at the moment.
Okay. That's the best place to look for it, how Obama, the tort reform proposal was scrubbed from the medical journal. We are going to take a very quick break. When we come back, we're going to have about 3 minutes left, and I want to change the subject, not near enough time to talk about President Obama's health care reform proposals, but I would like to get Dr. Tippett's personal opinion on that. So please stay tuned. We'll be right back after this very short break.
Now, back to your turn on 1330 WEBY, Northwest Florida's Talk Radio. The phone lines are open, so call in and join the conversation at 623-1330.
We've got about 2 minutes left. We are talking with Dr. Troy Tippett. He is president-elect of the American Association of Neurological Surgeons. He's also a local neurosurgeon here in Pensacola, Florida. And he has been talking with us about medical malpractice reform. The call to arms for all of us is to pay attention to this issue because, as he mentioned right before the break, it really will get down to access for care, access to care for us, for our children, for our parents, for our grandparents, and that's something none of us want to have happen. On the issue of access to care, let's talk a little bit about Obama's health care plan. If, in fact, we did have the Obama plan in place right now, if I could be so crass as to suggest, would it, in fact, be true that the Ted Kennedys of the world would be put out in the field to die and not be given any further health care? Am I right on that assessment?
Well, I think there's
it's
a
pretty crass, I know.
Yeah, I think there's a distinct possibility that Ted Kennedy would never have gotten to go to Duke to have his medical care. It's sort of amusing to me, not that the person who's writing the health care reform bill, supposedly, which envisions socializing medicine and dictating everything you can do and not do, probably wouldn't have allowed him to have surgery at his age for a brain tumor like this. I can see that in order to cut costs, the next part of their agenda will be to limit care. That's the obvious way to cut costs, and they are certainly inclined to do this. They're doing it under the guise of a system called comparative effectiveness, and that means that they're supposed to look at an issue and or look at a test or or a procedure and see if it is effective. And now that we, as the American Association of Neurological Surgeons, absolutely agree that we should look at procedures, tests to see if they're effective. But the problem with it is who's looking at it. They're just pursuing this new committee that's been set up by Congress. I think they put aside $1 billion to study comparative effectiveness. All of the members that they chose, all the physician members that they chose, were all work for the government. And out of those, I think 11 or 12, only one of them is a surgeon. So a lot of times these things that they do in Congress, committees they appoint, people they choose, are designed with an end in mind, and that's our fear here. We have no problems with working to try to improve the care, improve the testing, and do a better job of realistically spending our limited resources, but who chooses whether or not you get to have care may not be up to you in the near future if they have their way.
Dr. Troy Tippett, is there a place where folks can go? Has the American Association of Neurological Surgeons, have they got anything up on their website if people want to learn more about this issue?
Yes, they do. It's aans.org.
Okay, aans.org. That stands for the American Association of Neurological Surgeons, AANS. Dr. Tippett, thank you so much again, taking time out of your extremely busy schedule to come on and help educate us on this very, very important issue. Folks, we need to pay very close attention to it. I apologize. We certainly didn't have enough time to cover the issue of Obama reform, but that's another reason for you to come back and join us another time.
Thank you very much, Renee, for having me. It's always a delight.
Thank you. We appreciate it. Again, the name of the organization is the American Association of Neurological Surgeons. Find them at aans.org. That's it for this version of Your Turn. Thanks for tuning in.